We've seen grain silos in the southern states turned into works of art, huge canvases for giant-sized murals sprawled through grain towns. But in this era of upcycling, what else can pre-loved silos be used for? Well, in far north Queensland, Anna Gardner and Terry Stratton have turned a complex of silos into their home. The couple has spent the past decade restoring a loading station to 1920s heritage-listed maize silos at Keary on the Atherton Tablelands, and now they're selling up. They gave Renee Clough a tour.
G'day.
G'day.
How are you?
Good. Hi, Anna.
I'm Terry. This is the lounge room, which used to be an old weighbridge, believe it or not, years ago for the maize silos.
There used to be two main doors, great big doors, and the trucks used to drive through and dump their maize and then drive out through this way.
You guys have obviously put a fair bit of work into this place, but I've got to ask the question, what made you buy a silo in the first place? Or a set of silos?
Bloody madness, to be quite honest. No, it's just then we really weren't going to buy it. We just wanted to have a look at it. And then it was up for sale. While we were in Western Australia, they phoned us up and asked if we wanted to buy it. And the second offer, they accepted. You know? So from there, we didn't know what to do because it was under heritage listing. So I thought, well, we got the cheapest land in Queensland, or the biggest headache in Queensland. Full of old machinery and crap and full of pigeons. And when it rained, you go outside to get dry because more water come in than, believe me, it did. It was a hell of a mess. Just slowly cleaned it out. That was the first thing. In the meantime, we were dealing with the architect to get the plans drawn up, what we wanted done. And it just went from there, you know. And while they were doing that, I did a course online. My theory was, well, geez, they can build the pyramids, surely I can build a shed. You know, that's really what I thought, you know.
So you never had any experience as a builder before?
No, not at all, really. When we got approved, that's when I really crapped myself. I did. Where do I start? How do I start? You know, because you've got to remember these old buildings, they weren't square, nothing, none of the walls were square, nothing. So you're trying to make it back into shape, you know, at the same time. Start somewhere and hope to Christ you're doing the right thing, you know.
What sorts of restrictions were there?
We had to keep the same profile, the shape of the building. We had to use the same materials on the outside.
You couldn't use zinc or colourbond, you had to use galvanised sheeting and run it the same way, you know, on the outside.
The inside was ours to do with how we wanted it.
Should we continue moving through?
Yeah.
You've got plenty of space here.
Oh, heaps. To look at it from the outside, it's very deceiving.
Yeah.
You walk in and it's a lot bigger than you think.
Yeah, and it's very high. That's the first thing I noticed, how high the ceiling was. And then I turned a corner and saw the stairs going all the way up.
Yes.
Should we head up?
Yeah.
The views up here are pretty special as well.
That's the reason we actually brought the silos, because of the view. You've got views all around the tablelands from up here. It comes to building it, that was the thing when you got to that stage. I mean, when I started, I was nearly 64 years of age. And people my age retire at 64, they don't take these things on.
You know? But he's different. if he sees something that's a little bit different to anything else, well, then he decides that he wants it.
You've converted the front shed into your home. Can you actually get into the silos themselves?
Yeah, you can. There's four openings, but the openings are only small.
And I understand one of them is being used as a pretty specky dog kennel.
Yes, our German Shepherd's got one silo to herself.
It's the biggest doghouse in the world. You know, you've got 22 metres by 8 metres round for one dog. I know who's got the room.
Now you've decided to sell up. Why are you selling up?
Well, we finished it. Now we decided we'd like to travel around Australia again. We, you know, at our age, we just decide to try something different. That's the reality of it.
He's got it in mind where they're going to look for an old church.
The next project.
I said to him, as long as it doesn't have our own visitors in the backyard, like a graveyard.
That's silo restorers Anna Gardner and Terry Stratton already contemplating their next venture. What next? An old shipping trawler? Not sure. They could do anything. Now, you might have seen this first on a packet of coffee beans in the 1980s. Now the Fairtrade logo stamps itself on everything from bananas to honey to wine, supporting more than 1.6 million people across 74 countries. But 30 years on, does your purchase of a Fairtrade product really make a difference? On a recent trip to South Africa, Callie Buchanan visited the largest Fairtrade project in the world to find out.
Nestled in the Breede River Valley on South Africa's Western Cape, rows and rows of wine grapes stretch from the valley floor to the nearby mountain ranges. About an hour's drive from Cape Town, you'll find De Toits Kloof Wines. And while you'd expect to find a cellar door, what is less expected is the nearby primary school and daycare centre. It's part of the largest social responsibility project in the world, Fair Hills, which is coordinated by Tinny Smith.
Our first year, the premium money was 235,000 rand and it grown into 4.2 million rand. The 4.2 million rand is used for the running of all the different projects. First, we started with the daycare centres or the creches. We have 38 workers in the project. 26 of them are teachers, previously working on the farms, went for training, and now they are the caretakers and the teachers at the daycare centres. We have 170 kids. They get three meals. They get transport to and from the daycare centres. They get real good education.
What started as a cooperative winery in 1962 with 12 families now includes 22 member farms and more than 1,600 workers. The 4.2 million rand in premium money works out to be about 425,000 Australian dollars. It's paid to farmers on top of the fair trade minimum price they receive. It goes into a communal fund to be used as they see fit. And at Fair Hills, that's funding a primary school, three daycare centres, a medical centre, library and computer lab, as well as programs to encourage students into higher education and sport.
We never thought that our kids can play chess, but at the moment we have 13 of them got regional colours and 8 of them this year were invited to Gauteng to the SA Championships. So they're really doing well with the chess. We have 32 kids playing competitive chess at the moment. We take the kids from 3 months old at the daycare centres right through. At the moment we have 2 kids in college and 9 kids in university. We have 14 kids that finished college and they're in different jobs working at the project and also outside. One is down at the library.
That former student working at the library is Marsha, who is now studying a degree in information science. She says she's seen what the project has delivered for her community.
Yes, it has changed a lot because when I was in school, I have to go to town, to go to the library or to get information when I have to do a task or something. And now everything is here and when they come, I help them. If they can't work on the computers, I'll show them how. And
what's their favourite books?
They love every book. Mostly fiction. They love the stories.
A short walk from the library is one of the project's childcare centres. Kids are playing on swings and toy bikes under the watchful eyes of their teacher, Fila Feniarden. She says the children and their families now have opportunities to succeed that just weren't there when the program started.
A lot have changed here. For us, for the farm workers, for the children here at school.
So how do you feel when you see some of your kids go on and be successful at school?
Nice. Yeah.
What do these kids need most?
At our school, they need love from the teachers here and we protect them if they are at school here. Mm-hmm. Protect them every day.
Australia plays its part in supporting programs like the one at Fair Hills. In the past 5 years, retail sales of fair trade products has boomed, growing by 70% to a retail value of 260 million Australian dollars. Fairtrade Australia says that reflects changing consumer behaviour, but the challenge remains to increase awareness of what it can do for farmers in their home countries. For Fairhills coordinator Tinny Smith and the community around Du Toits Kloof Wines in South Africa, it couldn't be clearer.
The good thing is the workers took ownership of this project. When we started it in the beginning, because of the past, they said, well, this is just another trick from the producers. And after 2 years, when we started building the daycare centres, they see the difference. And now they took ownership of this and they're running it.
And does it show people who are not from Africa that something like buying fair trade does really make a difference?
I think you've seen today that it definitely makes a difference, especially in the young people. Definitely make a difference.
And that's Fairhills coordinator Tinny Smith ending that report by Callie Buchanan.